Kind of like the original vaccines for coronavirus and Omicron, you know, when that comes out. Still effective, still needs some tweaking.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to HIMSCast. My name is Mike Milliard. I'm executive editor of Healthcare IT News. On this episode, we're going to be talking about the HHS 405D program. It was created as a provision of the Cybersecurity Act of 2015 and is designed to offer resources and best practices for healthcare organizations and public health agencies to help mitigate and respond to cybersecurity threats. With me today to talk about this are Eric Decker, who's a Chief Information Security Officer at Intermountain Healthcare. Nick Rodriguez is Program Manager for 405D at the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. And Eli Fleet is Director of Government Relations at HIMSS. Welcome, gentlemen. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
You know, what is 405D? You know, can you guys give just a brief background on you know, what it is and how it got started and where we are today? 7 years since the Cybersecurity Act. What's going on with this?
Yeah, happy to do so. So brief background. The 405D program started as a congressional mandate under the Cybersecurity Act of 2015. So that's when we got our charge to partner with industry to develop resources to help move the sector and align security approaches. When we first started, we had one goal in mind, to develop a document that brought awareness and provide best practices to the top five threats that were facing the sector. We saw this come to fruition in late 2018 when we published HICCP, which is actually full title is the Health Industry Cybersecurity Practices, Managing Threats and Protecting Patients. Big mouth there, so that's why we call it HICCP. And that's really how this program started. After the release of HICCP, our program grew to be a full encompassing cybersecurity awareness platform for the sector. Our industry partners rallied behind the mandate to continue to develop resources. And so today we have a suite of cybersecurity awareness products, newsletters, bi-monthly webinars, all on the topics that industry finds interesting and pertinent that we should be talking about. And today, I'm sure Eric will probably cover this a lot more. The task group is actively working on new resources to put out to help move the cybersecurity needle within our sector. So very high level there, but that's what 405D is about and where we got started.
Can you talk about some of the stakeholders, you know, who've been hard at work on this over the past few years? Obviously, you know, Eli HIMSS is one of them, and Eric, you've been there working on this and developing HICCP. You know, for I talked to you, I think, a couple of years ago for Healthcare IT News about it. So this has been in the works for a long time, and a lot's been going into it. So who are some of the stakeholders, and what have been some of the signposts, I suppose, along the way since this all got started?
You know, our resources in 405D really runs the gamut of stakeholders. We specifically identify in our resources who we're reaching. So for HICCP, for example, Tech Volume 1 is aimed at small organizations and Tech Volume 2 is made for medium and large. Our cybersecurity awareness resources, again, we talk to practitioners, admins, IT professionals. We have some C-suite resources as well. So the 405D program, we as a whole aim to speak at least to everyone in one way or another through our products.
There have been upwards of about 150 people that have participated in the 405D task group and the program at one point in time or another. Now, that doesn't mean that we always have 150 active folks running at any given time, but there have definitely been a large number of people that have been in the group. So
a good diversity of views, and you know, that has helped to kind of, you know, ensure that this is kind of a holistic approach that that meets the unique needs of a lot of different types of stakeholders. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, the other thing I'll add to that, which is a great point, is part of the beauty of what the 405D program does is we have a whole group of people that build content, and we're taking the industry expertise, we're getting the sense of what is most relevant for us to move the needle, you know, across the sector. Once the content is developed, we actually take this through a very exhaustive peer review process. So it goes not only, you know, outside, so within the larger cyber working group gets a chance to look at this, provide their opinions. It will go outside of that whole whole working group, and we will bring in peers within industry and do focus groups and peer reviews and so forth. So folks that have never seen this before get the first blush reaction. They give us fantastic feedback on what looks right and what doesn't look right. Then we bring all of that back again. We rewrite for a third time. And then finally, it goes up through Health and Human Services, through its clearance process, through a final level of adjudication. So at the end of the day, there's at least four levels of review after an author finishes penning. And I think that is one of the things that makes the 405D products unique. It's one of the things that makes this a joint industry and government publication that comes out. And one of the reasons, as we'll talk about later, I'm sure that this was enshrined in law as well.
So talk a bit about that. Let's back up just a bit and talk about the Cybersecurity Act of 2015. What was it, you know, initially, and you know, why wasn't it enshrined in law? You know, I think that's a good question. I mean, obviously these are huge challenges, and they're evolving, you know, by the day. So we're talking about a law now that's 7 years old, and you know, you guys have been working on this for years as well. Why was it enshrined in law, and how is it able to continue to evolve, I suppose? Is that a fair question?
So HIMSS, back in 2015, kind of led a coalition, a healthcare coalition of associations, of health systems, and felt that while there are a lot of people that have technical expertise like Eric around cybersecurity, there's obviously a lot of people in healthcare who don't have technical expertise, and felt that it was important, if we're really going to be cybersecurity focused in healthcare, that we paid attention to that dynamic. And so we led this coalition to make sure that in the Cybersecurity Act of 2015, what became 405D was included. And, you know, it one of the things that I think has really been great about this task group and what the products they put out there is they're understandable to an office manager, to a receptionist at a small practice, down to, you know, a CIO at a large health system like Eric.
Mm-hmm. Nick, at the top of the conversation, you mentioned, you know, the top five threats. What are those, and do they change? I mean, have they evolved, you know, in this process, or do you expect them to continue to evolve? I mean, obviously, ransomware is something that 10 years ago we were not as focused on as we are now, clearly. Or, you know, when you talk about the top five threats, what are those?
Yeah, so the top five threats were discussed and collated by our task group members. So at the time of HICCUP's release, they were email phishing, mm-hmm. ransomware, loss and theft of equipment, insider, accidental or intentional data loss, and attacks against connected medical devices. I will highlight that threats are always evolving, right? We always know that. We know that. We understand that as 405D. So the task group is in the process of updating HICCUP as we speak and adjusting these threats to the current landscape. However, one thing that I would like to highlight is that the mitigating practices and the beauty of HICCUP is that the practices themselves, while we may be advancing them or adding new elements to them, they're still roughly the same. So I think that's what is the beauty of HICCUP, is that regardless if there's a new type of ransomware, for example, the mitigation practices that are covered by HICCUP will at least start you help mitigating against that. So I really think that that's the power of HICCUP. And, you know, as I mentioned, you know, the task group is updating it now to continue to evolve with that as well.
Kind of like the original vaccines for coronavirus and Omicron, you know, yeah. When that comes out. Still effective, still needs some tweaking, you know, some variation based on how it has evolved. But generally speaking, it provides that protection layer.
Yeah, Eric, I think when I spoke to you back in 2019 about HICCUP, you mentioned it, I think you described it as a living document of sorts, you know, something that's meant to evolve with the times. And I think you mentioned maybe, you know, a 2-year update of schedule, is something like that still?
Now COVID, of course, messed with all of that, as you can imagine. We during 2020, we took a break because the same sector that we need to help provide updates to HICCUP needed to respond to COVID, and we were not going to get in the middle of that public health crisis, of course. But we did pick that back up again towards the end of 2020, and certainly within 2021. And what the team has been working on right now is, you know, we really we have what's called waves inside of our task group. So there's a wave that's focused on supplemental materials. So taking the existing content from HiCup and turning that into one pagers. So we have like executive scorecards. We have, we've got a threat matrix, a threat to practice matrix, where if you want to dive down and double click into ransomware, we give you a subset of those sub practices that directly impact the ransomware threat, as well as indirect updates to that ransomware threat. So we're capable of sort of helping you synthesize down tactically into what you need to do. So that's what wave one focuses on. And they also they're also now part of our peer review process. So they tend to not be the folks that are in the content development group, which is our wave two. And they get that sort of first blush, first view, and provide us with that first round of peer review input. The second wave is literally about updating HiCup. So that's going through right now. We're targeting for a summer release of version two. We are through our final rounds of peer review right now, and it's going to be coming through its final penmanship and then up through HHS clearance. So that's the next step with that one. And then our third wave is focusing on an entirely new product. So this one is really gearing in on cybersecurity as a component of enterprise risk management and how that fits in. So when you think about the full context of ERM, mm-hmm. ERM is not cyber specific. It's a whole organization. It could be your finance, your clinical practice, your compliance and legal postures and all of those things. So cyber is a component of that. And we all do that a little differently. And so what this team is doing is really honing in on what's the right model, what are the right practices to do here, adopting NIST's 8286 publication, which focuses as it is a publication around cyber as a component of enterprise risk management, mm-hmm. and then turning that into a healthcare specific implementation guide. So this one will have a practitioner's guide, and then as well, like we did with HiCup, eventually we'll have a non-practitioner's guide, something that's for our executives or our non-IT people, something that is consumable and understandable. So those are the three waves of what HiCup's working on right now, or sorry, what 405D is working on right now. And of course, you know, we are continually thinking about what's the long-term picture of all of this, and we've got other things stewing in our minds about how to bring this in.
So for those who just might be a bit confused. So HiCup is the main kind of component and the most right. kind of useful guide to arise out of
405D. It's the cornerstone publication.
Okay.
Of 405D. Yeah.
And so what are some other components of 405D that healthcare organizations might avail themselves of, perhaps if is HiCup what they should be focused on?
Well, so HiCup is certainly, you know, the core document. If they go out to the website, the 405d.hhs.gov website, you'll see a whole slew of resources. There's a lot of stuff that we've done. We produce journals, chronicles, and a post. We produce webinars. We produce use case stories, you know, where somebody will profile out a particular challenge that they've had. There are sample email campaigns on specific types of, you know, risks and threats that we all face and how to sort of bring that into your organization. You can just copy and paste it. There's infographics. There's a threat to practice matrix out there for those GRC junkies that want to sort of see how this stuff aligns together and help build their strategies around that. There's an assessment guide on how you take HiCup and assess your organization and understand sort of how to go forward with that. You know, and then as I mentioned before, there's new things that are coming.
Yeah. Also, if I could just add and highlight is the 405D SBAR, which is a new product by the 405D task group and program. The 405D SBAR, it stands for Situation Background Assessment and Recommendation. Mm-hmm. It's a HPH focused review and active cyber intelligent alert. So if you are all aware, you get CISA alerts, HC3 alerts, and a whole host of other alerts. This SBAR, what it's doing, it's supposed to be building on those initial alerts by providing a healthcare lens to it. So we work with our industry partners, which is the key aspect to this. So it's real world knowledge. And then we apply, you know, HiCup techniques or other things to help mitigate that or provide recommendations on how to address that threat. So that was something new that we have done recently that can be found on the website as well.
A good example of that was when Log4j happened. We quickly built a Log4j SBAR and got that out to the industry.
You know, let's talk about some recent legislation. You know, this public law 116.321 that, you know, an act to amend, you know, the High Tech Act. Talk about that and how that impacts the 4.5D initiative.
Yeah. So what public law 116.321 does is ultimately it codifies in a definition of what is a recognized cybersecurity practice, and it amends High Tech and says that with three areas of definition, those are considered to be recognized cybersecurity practices. So in that list are NIST publications. So certainly if organizations have done things like adopted the NIST cybersecurity framework, this is Eric Decker's perspective here. OCR has not put out its rulemaking yet. So you know, if you've adopted your NIST CSFs, your other special publications that would fall within that realm of recognized practice. The second piece are any publications released or promulgated under the 405D program. So 405D is specifically called out in law as a recognized cybersecurity practice. And that is something that we take very seriously with our charge and the leadership and what we develop. Another reason why I think it's so important for that peer review process to make sure that it has been vetted and understood and accepted by industry. There's an awesome charge there. So I very much respect that. And then the third bucket is essentially an other category. So there's other regulations, other requirements around cybersecurity and so forth, and those would fit into that other bucket. But we're waiting for the Office of Civil Rights to do its RFI and its notice for proposed rulemaking to help sort of solidify what that looks like. But what the law does is it says when an organization has adopted those practices and can demonstrate adoption over the last 12 months, then OCR is instructed to consider that as they go through their various enforcement actions. So it describes what some of those enforcement actions look like. So at the end of the day, it's, you know, it's a way of saying, here are some practices. These are some good things to do. We all recognize that, again, Eric Decker's interpretation, we recognize that those folks who have adopted and done their due diligence, that it you should get some credit for that. At the, you know, and blaming the victim doesn't really help anybody when we have to recognize that the criminals are out there actually causing all these problems. But right. The same token, if you're not doing, you know, this due diligence, then, you know, the enforcement action is there as it always is. That has not changed under the under High Tech and the security role.
And if I can add too, you know, we're very encouraged by it. As Eric mentioned, there's still a lot to be figured out. Per typical, it's a brand new law. But from the 405D lens and perspective, we are encouraged because we hope it provides industry the kind of charge to partner with us, right? Like it's an opportunity for industry and government to come together, put in the extra work and effort to develop these resources. Then hopefully once they're, you know, approved and released, you know, they're beneficial to you as an organization. But also, you know, it helps solidify us as, you know, joint partners in this fight. And as far as the 405D program is concerned, you know, the task group and industry partnership is really the backbone of our program. We can't do it without members of like Eric or, you know, the other 150 plus individuals that, you know, join our task group, but also put pen to paper, engage in dialogue and come to our meetings and really voice their expertise to help us create and draft all these products. So we hope, you know, that the law and is encouraged me in that aspect as well.
So obviously so much hard work has gone into this over the past few years. You know, what sort of uptake and you know, interest have you seen from stakeholders in the industry in this? And obviously it's something you want to see increase. You know, you don't want all this hard work to be for naught, you know. And you got a new website that just went up in December, you know, and you're active on social media. So you're hoping to raise awareness around this. But have you seen some good uptake so far? What sort of feedback have you gotten from stakeholders?
Well, yeah, as mentioned, yes, we do have a new website. And we're very excited about that to help us grow our kind of footprint. But luckily, you know, partnerships with HIMSS from very day one back in 2000, I think, what was it, Eric, when we presented HICCUP in 18, 19, the first time at HIMSS, got the ball rolling, but we have seen a huge amount of increase over the last year with COVID and just the focus on cybersecurity and so forth. So we do have social media platforms out there for stakeholders to connect with us on. Our website is the number one stop for all of our products and resources. And we do see growth in, you know, the typical measurements of engagement and people attending stuff. But the number one thing that I can highlight is name recognition. People are actually calling us out. Oh, you know, we know Hiccup, we've done this, or the 405D program, or when organizations like HIMSS can just say, oh, you know, 405D, and that means something. We have definitely reached that level, at least in my perspective, from that. And we do see, you know, our target audiences, which tend to be, you know, the smaller organizations, the rural organizations that might not have all the resources as large organizations have, kind of coalesce around Hiccup. And they're taking it on themselves and doing, you know, internal applications of it. So I think all of those are great measurements of it. And then lastly, I'm sure Eric can add to it, industry involvement. We have seen a refresh of task group members joining, and that fresh blood, as Eric always calls it, it is vital to our products, but it also shows that our brand equity is growing and people want to be part of our movement. And so I consider that a success and a measurement of adoption and implementation.
Yeah, I think one of the really cool data points on this is when we launched the website, what was it, 160,000 hits in the month in December?
Yeah.
I mean, that was huge. That's a lot of activity. That's a lot of push. Helps that, you know, the brand recognition of HHS helps a lot, you know, when you release underneath that brand. So that was a big one. And then I think the sort of intangible awareness one is, I always smile when I have a vendor reaching out to me or a consultant agency reach out to me and say, hey, we can help you out with a hiccup assessment. Would you like to do that? So that's sort of like indirect runaround. I was like, now we've made some progress if the vendor and consulting community is out there sort of taking us and running with it.
That's great. Yeah, Nick, you mentioned HIMSS. Eli, you know, you're my HIMSS colleague. We will be there in Florida and in Orlando from, you know, March 14th through 18th. Anything planned or anything folks should be checking out, you know, when they're at the show related to this or just in cybersecurity in general?
I think that there's obviously a lot of resources that will be talked about. I know, for instance, Eric will be there in person. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, we continue at HIMSS to give the 405D task group its initiatives, its work, platform as much as we can. So whether that's this podcast or at global conference, I know it's not as easy this year because of, you know, what the world's going on to have as many people from the government come and join, but, you know, there definitely will be engagement and discussion about Hiccup and whether it's and the work that the 405D task force is doing and continues to do.
Join the cybersecurity forum on Monday if people can.
I'm going to be there. I'll see you there. I'm moderating a panel with two FBI agents at that. So that should be
right.
Anything big that I haven't asked you that you want to make a point of before, you know, we wrap up this podcast or any closing thoughts from any of you?
I would just say, you know, as somebody who's looked at a lot of government websites and government resources, you know, the website that you know, was released in December, took a lot of work from Nick and his colleagues at HHS, as well as, you know, the broader task group. It's a phenomenal website. It's easy to understand. It's easy to get information from. And I think, you know, if you're looking for cybersecurity resources, it's a great place to start and kind of get that information. You know, Nick and Eric kind of went through all the different resources that are on there, but I think they're really easy to find. And that's not always the case in a lot of government websites. And that's the case on this website.
Yeah. If I can highlight one thing is, you know, from the 405D program, we are constantly having new stuff put out. So if you're ever looking for new ways to share information about MFA or new ways to talk about cybersecurity mitigation techniques, check out 405D. We have a host of them and we're trying to keep it fresh and new. But as far as you know, looking into the future, we do have a very packed slate of new resources that are going to be very, I think, beneficial to the sector, whether it's HICCP update, as Eric referenced, with the new items covered in that, or this new ERM publication, that's due to come out. I think 405D, you know, is becoming and will continue to have all these great resources as the years go on.
Well, please do keep me posted on new developments. Healthcare IT News will be sure to cover them as they come out. And in the meantime, I would suggest that anyone who's been listening to this and is interested should check out the website. It's 405d.hhs.gov, correct?
Correct.
All right. Well, I would like to thank all of you, Nick, Eric, and Eli, for joining us today for this terrific conversation. And I look forward to talking to you guys again and then seeing you in Orlando at HIMSS 22, March 14th through 18th.
See you then, Mike.